Welcome back to The Point. Coming up in this half hour, if you love to see new stuff come fresh out of the box, you know, where you can watch it over and over again, you can online. And in fact, you don't have to buy it. The phenomenon is called unboxing, and the videos are a huge hit on YouTube. We'll meet the man behind the hands in just a moment. You're listening to Hands Free Radio. This is The Point. Hey there, I'm Amir Haleem, and you're listening to The Point on CBC Radio 1, also available on Sirius Satellite 137.7 and 24 hours a day, care of cbc.ca. Thanks for joining us on the program this afternoon, and let's go to Calgary and say hello to Jason Dunn. Hello, Jason.
Hey.
How are you? Welcome to The Point.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, we're going to talk about your famous hands in just a moment, but first, I want to get your opinion on a conversation we had in the first hour of The Point, also having to do with hands, but used in a different manner altogether. We asked the question, who should determine whether fighting should be banned in hockey? Our point people today were Ron McLean from Hockey Night in Canada, and from your hometown, where you are right now, Shelley Youngblood, editor of Swerve magazine, joined us as well. Now, here's what Ron and Shelley had to say.
I think the players ultimately should have the say, and I think that's why it's changing dramatically. The culture of the game has changed with Europeans coming over who don't fight. The role of the heavyweight enforcer is long gone. You have to be able to play in this new NHL, and you've got guys now, these little rats that run around, cause all kinds of problems, and if you try to challenge them, the only defensible means of saying fighting should be in hockey is if it serves an honorable purpose. All of us sort of agree, we may not like to see a fight, but we like to see what it does to keep everyone honest. Down the road, I can see why the issue is being raised and is evolving, and I can see where fighting may disappear from the game, but I'll never defend it on the basis of it being a spectacle.
It's funny, when you're talking about the evolution, one of the things that I was sort of interesting in is you know, I grew up, I'm not a male under 50, but I am a female who grew up loving the Philadelphia Flyers, and when I was working in New York, I was surrounded by people who were basketball fans, and I just couldn't get into basketball unless I saw them play like hockey players. Like, I'm a Gordie Howe hockey fan. I want the goal, I want the assist, and if not necessarily a fight, at least I want them in there in the corners. I want them playing really hard. But I think that the players themselves do have a strong grip on this. The question is whether or not the business model of having, you know, an 82 games, you know, regular season, at some point you just run out of steam, and maybe they don't have that intensity. Maybe the skill kind of diminishes.
Comments from today's point people, Shelley Youngblood, editor of Swerve magazine in Calgary, and Ron McLean, of course, from Hockey Night in Canada, who joined us from Toronto. Let's return to Calgary, or remain in Calgary, I should say, as Jason Dunn, the maker of unboxing videos, joins us. Before we talk about unboxing, let's talk about boxing and hockey and what you think.
Well, I'm not a big hockey fan. I used to play it when I was younger, but don't really follow it regularly. So I don't have an opinion from a regular fan's point of view.
Are you still a casual fan? Would you describe yourself as a casual fan, and especially since your Flames are doing so well these days?
Honestly, until the Flames start to get within, you know, a few games of the Stanley Cup, that's usually when I start to get interested. But okay. No, I literally don't even watch it casually.
Right. Okay. Well, the reason I ask is that there was a Harris Desma poll, and they polled casual hockey fans along with diehard hockey fans, and they seem to differ tremendously on whether or not hockey should remain in the game. So what do you make of all this?
So did the casual fans want to mm-hmm. want to?
Yeah, they wanted to. Yeah, they wanted it out. Sorry, they wanted it out and said that it should, you know, I think it was in the 60s in terms of the percentage points as far as how many people wanted to outlaw fighting in hockey overall.
Yeah, I guess it depends. If I'm just guessing here, but maybe just the casual fans might have a bit more of the spectacle aspect. You know, they want to see a good fight. They want it to be entertaining. Whereas, you know, regular hockey fans probably have a greater appreciation for the skills and the rules, you know, and they might view it as a bit more of a distraction. I kind of had a bit of a crazy idea. I'm more of an MMA fan, a mixed martial arts. I watch the UFC all the time. Right. So here's my idea. In the UFC, they had these little 7-ounce gloves.
Right.
What if hockey hockey players, you know, wore two sets of gloves, and they threw off their big gloves, and then they just had little MMA gloves underneath, and they could, you know, duke it out, and everyone would be safe.
Right. Well, that's interesting that you watch a sport where it's all about fighting, and then in terms of hockey, do you think it should? Is it because the focus of mixed martial arts is slightly different from the objective of what you're trying to achieve in hockey?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's important. You know, if you're sitting down to watch a sport, any sport, the primary goal of the sport, whether it's, you know, getting the puck in the net, the ball in the hoop, whatever, that should be the real focus. Fighting to me in hockey is about, you know, two big guys in heavy equipment getting angry at each other. Mm. And believe it or not, you know, in the UFC and in mixed martial arts, when two guys get in the ring, they're very rarely, you know, angry with each other. They're there to compete as athletes. And it's very common at the end of a fight, you know, you see these two guys that just beat the crap out of each other for 15 minutes. They're hugging, you know, and bowing to each other. So there's a lot of respect there. And the fighting isn't about anger. And I think maybe that's where I get uncomfortable in hockey, or really any sport, where the fighting is just essentially based on two guys getting really, really angry and, you know, hating each other.
That's interesting. I mean, I'll admit that I'm not a mixed martial arts fan, or in other words, I don't watch the UFC as closely as you do. But it's interesting how you're differentiating between, you know, the level of anger, because you figure that if two people are trading punches, they're not happy with each other. They're pretty upset at each other. But that in the one sport, it's not a part of it afterwards, I guess, because in hockey, there's a level of respect as well. I mean, guys will especially guys who generally fight more than they try to score goals. You know, their jobs as enforcers tend to have that level of respect there, because I've seen fights in the NHL where They've traded punches, and then they almost go, okay, you had enough? Yeah, sure. And then they just skate to the penalty box.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. I don't have a really broad perspective on fighting in hockey. I guess whenever I've seen it, it's the guys that look like they've, you know, burst a blood vessel in their head, and they throw down their gloves, and they, you know, start smashing each other. So I guess, you know, really conflict in any sport,
yeah.
I guess as long as it's maybe a healthy part of the game, and it's not, you know, your basket brawl fan, you know, pandemonium. I think that's an unhealthy type of fighting.
You have a perspective, Jason, which is why we are very happy to have you on the program. And we will talk about this notion of unboxing, which has nothing to do with fisticuffs shortly. But that conversation will happen between you and I, after we enjoy some music from Alex Cuba. Here's Amor Infinito on The Point. Prince George's Cold Snap Festival is happening right now, and Alex Cuba will be performing there. So if you have a chance to go check it out and check out Alex, please do. We just heard Amor Infinito on The Point on CBC Radio 1, Sirius Satellite 137, and also available at cbc.ca. Well, who doesn't like ripping open a box to get to that shiny new toy? Well, the toy could be a gadget or a gizmo, whatever suits your fancy. The first look is always magical when something is right out of the box. Now you can have love at first sight without having to pay over and over again. There are an estimated 65,000 unboxing videos on YouTube alone, dozens of them made by our guest this afternoon, Jason Dunn. Here's a little bit of a sample.
I have a new product from HP. It's been out for about a month or a month and a half now. It took me a little while to get hold of it, but this is the HP Mini 1000. I've had a lot of people request that I take a look at this particular unit, and HP decided to send me one. So here I am doing a bit of an unboxing for you. So this is going to just be a first impressions video. I haven't had a lot of chance to use this model yet. So you get some setup instructions. Nothing very exciting there. This is the unit itself.
That's Jason, the unboxer, done. Joining us from our Calgary studio. Jason, is that all right, taking liberties with your name and giving you a bit of a boxing nickname? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. Not a problem at all.
Yeah, you sound happy about it. Well, tell us, tell our listeners who may not have had a chance to go online and check out your work, exactly what is unboxing?
An unboxing is essentially a first look at a product. Products do not get released, you know, simultaneously around the world. You know, let's face it, a lot of stuff comes out in the United States first, mm-hmm. You know, so whether it's a new cell phone, MP3 player, laptop, whatever. And for a lot of people, you know, if they're really interested in a particular product, they want to learn everything they can about it. And one of the, you know, realities is that if you're interested in a product and you go to the manufacturer's website and you check it out, you're going to get a lot of marketing information and perfect product photos, and everything is, you know, just polished. an unboxing video is a way to get a genuine look at what that product looks like. How does it work? You know, what kinds of features does it have? And so that's really the primary reason why I do the unboxing videos, is to really just give people more information.
And how did you start doing this, or what inspired you to start not only unboxing and putting it on tape, but posting it online for millions to see?
I don't truthfully know the origins of unboxings. I remember seeing them a few years back, and a lot of the time they were actually just someone taking pictures. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the earliest unboxings were actually of Apple products, like, you know, Macs and iPods and things like that, and typically like a MacBook, because, you know, Apple's industrial design is fantastic. Their products always look really good. Now, if you want to see, you know, a really dry unboxing, that would be looking at still photos mm-hmm. of a product, you know, at every stage when the guy opens up the flap. Now, for me, that's a little bit too detailed. So some of my peers actually that ran other technology websites, they started doing videos, and it seemed like a really good way to, you know, just educate consumers about the particular product that I was looking at. And since it's content that, you know, I would be doing anyway for my respective websites, mm-hmm. it's just a natural progression to put it up, you know, on YouTube. And the videos actually go out to about 12 different video sharing sites, okay. But YouTube it was like 99% of all the online videos.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at you unbox an HP Mini 1000 XP Edition in HD, which is really fascinating. I mean, even if you have the sound down as I do now, so that I may speak with you, it's fascinating to look at, because I take it it's unrehearsed, right? You're just like, all right, press record on the camera, and then and away you go.
Yeah, it's 100% unrehearsed, unscripted. I don't even open up the package, you know, before I do the video. So when I'm opening up the box, the first impressions, whatever I'm thinking or feeling when I'm looking at this and opening it up, mm-hmm. it's all very genuine. Sometimes that blows up in my face. I've had a couple of products where I've you know, search for the power button, and I press and hold the power button, and I think it's the power button, and then 2 minutes later, you know, it doesn't turn on. And 2 minutes later, I'm like, oh, look, here's the power button. So, you know, I authenticity is really, yeah. really important for me in these videos.
Well, with that in mind, Jason, as you get more and more famous, if you will, I mean, here you are on a national radio show. I've seen a report on television about you nationally as well. You're going to do some local television soon. As you get more and more attention, from my perspective as a consumer of this video and watching your unfiltered, uncensored opinion, should I be concerned that maybe you might start to be influenced by some of these companies who you know, magically you start to get Apple products before they're even or just as they're barely off the assembly line?
You know, the reality is that anyone who's in any form of media, you know, anyone who's sharing their opinion yeah. with others, there's always going to be a risk of, bias. And I think that in general, the only way you can really tell if someone's biased or not is to just look at the stuff that they're doing. You know, there are certainly websites out there and magazine articles that I read where I look at it and say, boy, you know, I know this product is not a good product, and here they are telling me what a great product it is. Mm. So I'm liable not to trust that person's opinion. I've been doing this for a long time. Right. You know, before unboxing videos, I've been running my websites, and I've had my hands on all sorts of products, and you know, I really believe in honesty and authenticity, and I'm never going to tell someone that something's a great product unless it truly is a great product. In fact, I'm actually a lot harder on products than most normal people are.
And in terms of feedback, let's begin with some of these companies. Have they contacted you, sent you an email or note saying, come on, Jason, you got to lighten up? Has anything like that happened?
No, actually, it hasn't, to be honest with you. You know, these companies, they have, you know, public relations people and media relations mm-hmm. people, and it's their job. You know, before the web, they were dealing with journalists, you know, and magazine writers and things like that.
Sure.
And, you know, for my background's actually in PR. I went to Mount Royal College here in Calgary. And any PR person to go back on a journalist or any sort of editorial person and say, you know, hey, you know, we didn't really like that piece. We want you to lighten up. That's bad. That's bad news. You don't really want to go back, because then the next one you're going to get is probably going to be even harsher.
Yeah. And what about the people who actually pay attention to what you're doing simply as consumers? Again, I am the furthest thing from being tech savvy, so I've managed to learn a thing or two as you've unboxed some of these products. But whether it's someone who is very astute in the area of tech products, or someone who's just a layperson like myself, tell me about some of the feedback you've received.
You know, it really runs the gamut. I mean, YouTube is certainly the main channel of, you know, for feedback. I get a lot of comments in my videos, and I make it a point every single day to actually go in and respond to those comments. So I you know, a lot of my videos have 300, 400, some of them have like, you know, 800, 1,000 comments on them. And there are people, you know, just expressing their own opinion. A lot of people, you know, like the unboxing videos. I tried to really up the bar in terms of production value. Some unboxing videos are, you know, one guy in his backyard with a camcorder in one hand, and he's trying to fumble to open up the box in the other hand, and there's a dog barking in the background and cars going by. And so I do mine in sort of a little home studio, you know, and I really tried to make my videos as high quality as I can, you know, given my budget of zero. and the feedback has generally been really good, you know, but the reality is I'm expressing my opinion on a product. Sometimes people will disagree. I did an unboxing of a product called an Acer Aspire 1, and it's a little netbook. It's one of these, you know, kind of $350, very light, very portable, little laptops. And the particular unit that I had a really noisy fan, and the fan never turned off. And so no matter what you were doing, all you hear was this whirring sound. And I slammed the product pretty hard for that. You know, I said that there's no excuse for this to be happening. And then it turns out after my video went live, within a couple months, other people had obviously complained about this, and there was actually a fix out. But now people look at my video and say, no, you can turn down the fan and all these other things. And the unboxing and all my videos are really just a snapshot in time of a particular product on a particular date. And 6 months later, some of my criticisms might be completely invalid.
Well, I've seen it's the 500 channel universe, although to me, I think it's the 5,000 channel universe. And I've seen a channel out there where it's just photographs after photographs after photographs. They're themed and they have music. I'm waiting for the unboxing channel to come around, because I think you're onto something, and I would certainly tune into that. As mentioned, I mean, whether you have the sound up and you're listening intently to what you have to say, or even just watching your hands move around, and I think... a former hand model, George Costanza, would be proud of your work from the Seinfeld series. Jason, I've really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us on The Point and for the work you're doing online.
Yeah, glad to be here.
That's Jason Dunn, unboxer. You can check out his work, as he mentioned, on many sites online, including YouTube, and just watch him go through some of these products. They may, in fact, be very helpful to you prior to you purchasing a computer, a camera, whatever you might be interested in. Here's some music you will be interested in. It's Beast with Mr. Hurricane on The Point.